Conversations with Joan Lewis.
Joan, welcome back.
It's really been an amazing week, which I think we start, we say that every time we start a show, but it's pretty much the truth. The different events in the Vatican, of course, the second Sunday of Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday, the Pope's Mass in St. Peter's Square, his 80th birthday on Monday, April 19th, the second anniversary of his pontificate. So it's been an activity-filled week. The previous week, of course, the Pope had been in Castel Gandolfo. He was actually scheduled to return on Saturday the 14th, but he did return on Friday because he had a meeting with the heads of dicasteries of the Roman Curia on Saturday morning. And that had not been previously announced. Anyway, apparently, according to Father Lombardi, head of the press office, the Pope and the Cardinals did talk about his forthcoming trip to Brazil. And he said it was exclusively on that. There's obviously speculation when you get heads of dicasteries together that there might be other issues they could discuss as well. The motu proprio is expected, who knows when, on the Latin Mass, perhaps extended use of the Latin Mass. And we know the Pope is writing a letter to Chinese Catholics, so the feelings are that those issues might have been brought up as well.
Which would make sense.
Eminent sense. And as I said, you don't want to waste the time. If you have the heads of dicasteries together and you're having a meeting, you may as well cover, you know, several topics.
You don't discuss the weather.
No, you don't. So it has been it was kind of quiet last week, picked up with the meeting, picked up obviously with the Mass on Divine Mercy Sunday. It was a beautiful Mass.
The weather was perfect.
The weather, it could not have been better.
And in spite of the thunderstorm the night before?
Well, the night before, and then the last couple afternoons.
Yes.
Bango. I don't know where you were yesterday, but what was it like?
I had just got indoors.
5 o'clock or 5:30 in the afternoon, all of a sudden, you were being pelted with hail. And I was at the Casa Santa Maria, the downtown branch, if you will, of the North American College. And so any of us who were in the courtyard ran under the portico, covered portico area. And actually, I have to say, it was absolutely stunning what we saw. As the hail came down, it got bigger and bigger. And yet part of the, I don't know where it was in Rome, but the sun was out someplace because it was filtering through the clouds and hitting the hail as it came down, and it looked like someone was throwing diamonds down to the earth.
Oh, it did, because when the hail started, I was just looking out the window, my window at the Beda, and our seminarians had been just about to start a football match. And believe me, they ran for cover.
But it doesn't seem to certainly bother crowds. You have enormous crowds for the Pope's weekly audience. You had 50,000
Sunday. Yes, because the figures have just been released,
well,
haven't they?
They have. The prefecture of the papal household, which, if our listeners are unaware of it, this is the office in the Vatican that arranges all audiences with the Holy Father in Vatican City, and then events, of course, perhaps in Rome, like when he came to Vatican Radio. The prefect of the papal household came here for kind of the advance man of the Holy Father, and you check out elevators, do they work or not work, and just prepare things for an audience, or in this case, a visit. But the figures came out for the last 12 months, so the second year, April of 2006 to this April, the second year of the Holy Father's pontificate, and 3.4 million people attended liturgical events or the papal audiences on Wednesday, the Sunday Angelus and Regina Caeli. So, I mean, those are really stunning figures. It's up by just a touch over the first year of his pontificate, which was 3.2 million. Now it's 3.4. And so one of the services that reported on this news said that Pope Benedict's popularity compares very favorably to that of John Paul, whom, as we know, drew enormous crowds. He even drew enormous crowds the last 2 years of his life, where he was less mobile. His speech was impeded at times, and yet he drew enormous crowds. So they're coming. They're coming to the general audiences and Angelus on Sunday. It's obviously standing room only in St. Peter's Square. Wednesday, of course, there's seating, but and then there's an awful lot of people, thousands and thousands, that don't have tickets, but they stand around
they
the
just
barriers.
Stand, yes.
They stand around the barriers, they watch it. Or they're going to the Vatican, they're tourists, they have no idea that they may or may not even be Catholic, but they have no idea that the Pope has this audience on Wednesday. So they find themselves in the Vatican. That's the day they've chosen to go see St. Peter's, which, of course, is closed all morning then. And they just stand there in rapt attention, and, oh, my word, we just happened on St. Peter's Square, and here's the Holy Father coming out and circling around in his Jeep and everything. So been a very, very happy week, obviously, with the Pope's the Mass on Sunday prior to his birthday on Monday. And then the concert. I just hope our listeners saw it on television, but it was phenomenal. The Stuttgart Radio Symphonic Orchestra performed works by some of the Holy Father's favorite composers, including, obviously, Mozart, and then the Czech composer Antonín Dvořák. The audience hall, Paul VI Hall, was filled to capacity on the Pope's birthday. And as the musicians came onto the stage, there was great applause. And then the Holy Father came in and walked down the main aisle, and he sat in a chair in the center and was surrounded. There had to be 40 cardinals on both sides of him in armchairs as well. And obviously many dignitaries and ambassadors and just normal people. But the concert, when the conductor came out, he got huge applause, but I cannot tell you the applause he got at the end. 26 years old. Venezuelan. This guy was exuberant, energetic. I don't remember the last time I so enjoyed watching a conductor. He brought you right into the music. It was truly enthralling. And if that wasn't enough, 26 years old, and he has the resume of someone, you know, three times his age, the violinist, it was the Mozart Violin Concerto in G major, and the violinist, 27 years old, from the United States, Hillary Hahn was her name. She was totally brilliant. And at the end of the various pieces, there was also the Italian Giovanni Gabrielli, whose music was played too. But the Holy Father almost leaped right out of his chair, and he just strode up that aisle and to the stage. And it was palpable. His enthusiasm in greeting, especially the conductor and the violinist, was really palpable.
Got such an appreciation for music.
Well, yes, he was in his milieu where he's happiest. And I think the only thing that would have added happiness to the evening would have been him sitting down at a piano and playing for some
and I'm
of
sure,
us.
And I'm sure that his brother was there as well.
I hadn't read anything about him in the press. I think that one of the gentlemen that I saw with the equally white hair sitting very close to the Holy Father was his brother, Georg. And, of course, music was an integral part of their lives. And as a matter of fact, that's what the Pope said in his remarks, which were German and in Italian. The Holy Father thanked those who in his life introduced him to music and said it's given him, you know, many moments of joy, of comfort, of happiness, of being uplifted, and how music, being a universal language, helps us all arrive at the Creator, at God. And it is very, very uplifting, certainly.
Well,
the music he's talking about is very uplifting.
And, well, he is a theologian, but he's also a musician to his fingertips.
Literally, exactly.
And especially as a pianist.
But it was really an extraordinary evening, and it was a very energetic evening. And I have to tell you personally, what was an awful lot of fun was sitting there, and there was a group behind me that started singing, maybe 20 or 30 people. They sang Happy Birthday all the way through in Italian. And then I think the rest of the audience was kind of going, why didn't we think of that? And so we sang it a second time, but now it was 7,000 people singing in Italian, Happy Birthday, Holy Father. And so it isn't too often in one's life that one can sing Happy Birthday to a Pope, but it was a very, very wonderful evening. And the whole week has been that way. And then, of course, he leaves this weekend. He's in Pavia and Vigevano, Italy. So kind of resuming a travel schedule and a busy agenda and everything else after his hectic Easter, then days of rest at Casa Gandolfo, and then days of festivities back here in the Vatican. And I think the only negative note, if you want to put it that way, that would have been part of his week was the shooting, of course, the awful tragic, unspeakable shooting at Virginia Tech University in the United States. And there's, of course, as we're talking, there's still an awful lot more news that's coming out about the young man who did the shooting, a Korean who apparently did leave a note behind. But the Holy Father sent a telegram to Bishop Francis DiLorenzo in Richmond, Virginia, and he said, deeply saddened by news of the shooting at Virginia Tech, His Holiness, the telegram is sent by the Secretary of State office, His Holiness Pope Benedict has asked me to convey the assurances of his heartfelt prayers for the victims, their families, and the entire school community. And it says, in the aftermath of this senseless tragedy, he asked God our Father to console all those who mourn and to grant them that spiritual strength with which triumphs over violence by the power of forgiveness, hope, and reconciling love. And there's one heck of a lot of people that are going to need all of that in coming weeks, probably from around the states, because, of course, at American universities, this is in Virginia, but the students come from around the states. And as we've learned by the one who killed everybody, he was Korean. He was a Korean student. So that was really kind of the only down note in this whole week at the Vatican.
And as we finish our program, our thoughts and our prayers go out to the people of Virginia.
Yes.
And especially of Virginia Tech and their families and their friends and everybody.
Well, having just had an unexpected tragedy, a tragic death in my family, I'm just trying, I can really like empathize with the students who might have lost their best friend. This was somebody's daughter. This was somebody's son. Perhaps he was an uncle. You just don't know. And the teacher was shot in one of the classrooms.
Well, I thought some prayers are with them.
They really, really are. And on that note, we will end this week's show and see you all next week.
You've been listening to Joan Lewis. To find out more about Joan or to ask her a question, please visit our website at vaticanradio.org.